Hi, it's Passionate Living, and this is Dame Nicole Brandon. Welcome to the show. We actually have a very special show for you this evening. I'm going off the beaten track of interviewing our live guests to do a special tribute show. As we talk about passionate living, and we talk about somebody who has inspired me to lead and live my very most passionate life, I want to talk about my mentor, my coach, a teacher, and friend named Tony Bobua. And we actually lost Tony this week on Angel Wings to the other side, but the ripples that she has created throughout humanity, throughout the world, have been so astounding and have created so much of what we see today, whether that's in television and film and programming, in books and our leaders and our political systems. The way that she has touched lives has been truly a phenomenon in itself. And I wanted to start the show talking about something crazy special, which is a little dog called Miley the dog. And many of you may have been posting for the past few years about Miley the dog, and many of you may be on Miley the dog's Facebook page. And I wanted to share that on the last week of Tony's life, I had the honor and the privilege of being at her house for all of those days. And at one particular day, there was a plumbing problem. And in March, four plumbers, and the plumbers were fantastic. They worked diligently through the night, and the people taking care of Tony offered the plumbers soup and sandwiches and food. And one of the women that was caring for Tony said to the plumbers, "Do you know who's in the other room?" And the plumbers just sort of shook their head. And the woman said, "That's Tony Bobua, and she's an angel. She's a living angel. And everybody that meets her, even if you only met her once, you were the supermarket clerk, or you were a waiter, or you were, even if you only once you met her, you would remember her for the rest of your life. And she would touch your life with such great effect that it would change your life and you would never forget it." And then she pointed to this little white fluffy dog and said, "And do you see that dog on the floor?" And the plumbers are nodding. And he said, "That's a very special dog. That's Miley the dog." And the caretaker started to tell the plumbers about Miley the dog. And these four plumbers, their jaws hit the floor and tears were streaming down their faces as they're standing there with the plumbing equipment. And Miley was found on a junk pile. And a man was jogging by, saw something in the junk pile, wasn't quite sure what it was, and as he got closer, he saw it was actually a dog. And he wasn't sure if the dog was dead or alive, and he called an animal rescue organization, and they saw this dog in the junk pile, and they actually thought that the dog was just teetering on life and didn't think that the dog should leave alone. So the rescue worker just went to sit with the dog until the dog passed, and the dog reached out and kissed him, and he realized this dog had energy and life and rescued this dog in this heroic effort from the junk pile. Well, they videotaped that rescue from the junk pile and they put it up on YouTube saying that you should rescue dogs and look at this dog that was rescued. It went mega viral, and within just a day or two, it had 13 million hits on YouTube. So I want you to think about this. A little dog is on a junk pile. A guy's jogging by and sees something move, calls the rescue organization. The rescue organization comes out just to sit with him, just to make sure that this dog is okay. And it was actually her, and they rescue this dog, and the video of the rescue goes viral, and 13 million people in just a day or two are watching this dog, and people all over the world start inquiring about her. How could they help and how could they adopt her? And 500 actual applicants filed to adopt this dog. And what the Fuzzy Paws organization, which was the rescue organization, did was they went through all of those 500 applicants with a fine-tooth comb because they wanted to make sure that this dog indeed had a great life a passionate life, a life worth living, a life of joy, a life of happiness. And when you see the video, and I hope you do, that after you listen to the show, you go online, and if you've not already been posting this for the past 2 years and following Miley, go to Miley the dog, and it will totally touch your heart in a way you never knew was possible. And so they have these 500 applicants, and at the same time, doctors are working diligently to save her life, surgery after surgery. And when you see the condition this dog was in, and as they go through the 500 applicants, it came down to three families. And ironically, all three families were in Los Angeles, even though the applicants were from all over the world. And one of these applicants was Toni Buer, this living angel of a woman. And what differentiated her application for this dog from all the other 500 applications that came in, and all of the millions of people that were inquiring and wanting to know what made it different, was she didn't write a letter to the Fuzzy Paws Foundation. She didn't write a letter to the foundation saying, this is why I'm the best choice and you should be with me and my family. She wrote a letter to Miley the dog. She actually addressed the letter directly to the dog, not to the foundation. And this is what her letter said, December 16th, 2013. Dear Miley, my name is Toni Buer, and my husband Gene Buer and I have had four rescued huskies over our 40 years blessed marriage. Our second husky, Mr. Seth, was almost dead when we adopted him. Someone threw him over a pound wall, and he ran and hiked with me until he was 20 years old. Anushka, our last daughter in a fur coat, passed 5 months ago, right after my soulmate Jean died of Parkinson's. This is the first time in my life that I am alone. I miss them so much, and I can't wait to have another furry daughter. But I've had several operations for my breast cancer, and I've been waiting until I'm healed to find her. I am almost all healed, no more surgery. I am teaching and speaking and writing again, and it seems like Miley and I both have been broken and have a second chance at a new life. I would love you, Miley, to consider me as your mom, God willing. I live in a huge 1926 house in the hills. I will attach a photo. I was going to sell it to keep Jean safe from running up the staircase, but I decided to stay here, and I'm just finishing redoing the kitchen at Casa Buer. Our home is entirely fenced in with beautiful 6 feet tall wrought iron designed especially for you huskies. I'm a writer, so I'm home most of the time. I also teach acting, Miley, and I would love to take you to class for everyone to meet you. Gina and I also founded a charity for at-risk teens and people in recovery. It's called the Here's to Life Foundation, and you can see us at herestolife.org, of which I am the president. I am teaching acting, but I am also teaching the love of life and the respect for Mother Earth and for all creatures, large and small. You can look me up at BuerActingForLife.com, where you can see my picture and also my background. I send love and healing light to you forever. Even if you don't choose me, I would love to meet you. Fondly, with love, healing, and hope, Toni Buer. So Toni sent her letter directly to Miley the dog. And the Fuzzy Foundation, they had the 500 applicants and then the three that they whittled it down to, and they took her to the three homes. And the minute she saw Toni, she jumped and leapt at her, and they knew this was a perfect match. And then they decided to place her in this house, and there was a red carpet ceremony, the way that you would see the Academy Awards and the Grammy Awards, and this dog walked down a red carpet, and they had huge cakes and flowers and toys, and it just looked like Christmas in a fairy tale world. And they made a video of her finding her home with all of these celebrities in the house and all of these friends and all of these family. And then they started, Miley had her own Facebook page and her own website, and the hits kept coming in. And so what they decided to do was Miley and Tony created videos every day that said, like, "Good morning, world," or "Hello, tree, hello, flower, isn't this beautiful to live this kind of gorgeous life?" Or, "Wouldn't you want to play today?" And people would follow, and they would talk to Miley, the dog, as if she were a real person and a real best friend. And people from all over the world started interacting with this dog. And now, as right before Tony left, she arranged to have a movie created on Miley the dog's life. And so we have now a feature film to look forward to. And so, for any of you that are out there, and I know that we're going to be jumping to a break in just a minute, and I would love to talk more about this extraordinary woman that touched so many people in such a profound way, but who have ever thought about rescuing a dog. Imagine a dog who lived in a junk pile, who was so broken that the body needed surgery after surgery after surgery just to be able to stand up, just to be able to pant, just to be able to eat, just to be able to move. And not only to be rescued and to be loved and to be nurtured by these doctors and these nurses and these incredible, incredible rescue workers, but the fact that then to be able to have the entire world caring about you, the entire world reaching out, asking how you're doing and how they can help and what they can do to make a difference, and to have so many people to want to take you into their home and their heart, and then to find this perfect forever home and to become the daughter, the fairy daughter of a very special woman. And my heart breaks right now that this dog is now without her new mom, and I know that her life will continue to go on and to be extraordinary and to share amazing stories with us. And I'm sure as the movie comes out, Miley's going to become a movie star, and I can't wait to see Miley on the red carpet. But when you realize how deeply a life can be affected by you adopting, and there are so many incredible organizations and local shelters that are doing phenomenal work. And how many times have you been jogging? Have you been walking? Have you been driving by that you saw a dog? And the impetus was to call somebody and to say, call a shelter, call a rescue organization, say, "Hey, I just saw a dog on XYZ corner or in this trash pile or down this alley." And imagine if this jogger had not placed this call. Imagine if the rescue worker had not rescued this dog off the junk pile, what a different life it would be. And so, as we talk about leading and living our most passionate life, a life that's filled with bliss and joy and happiness, and each and every one of our dreams come true, we think that every living creature has hopes and dreams and visions and wants and desires and fantasies as well. And if we're able to make that come true, if we're able to make a difference in a pet's life, in any animal's lives, or in the lives of those that we meet. It might be a child that's being neglected or abused. It might be someone that lives upstairs from you that's being beaten or abused. And do we make that call? Do we call for someone to come help and rescue someone in need to give them a better life, a more passionate life, a more joyous life, and a life worth living? So, blessings to Miley the dog and for her future, for her life, and more when we return here on Tony Bua and this incredible story here on Passionate Living. Hi, it's Nicole Brennan, and welcome back to Passionate Living. So we took a break from today's live shows to be able to share about a very special life, a woman who recently just passed last week, but who left such a mark, such an incredible mark on this planet. And in the first segment, I was talking about this incredible dog she adopted, Miley the dog. And you can go online, either on Facebook or just Google Miley the dog and find out all about her. And there's actually a movie coming out about Miley the dog, this incredible little dog that was rescued on a trash pile that ended up changing so many lives and affecting lives all over the world. And if you would like to donate for Miley the dog, for Tony, or even just because your heart is telling you that you really want to make a difference in a pet's lives, Hope for Paws Rescue, that's Hope for Paws Rescue, and the organization that rescued her, the Fuzzy, F-U-Z-Z-Y, the Fuzzy Pet Foundation. And they're both incredible organizations doing amazing work. And it is because of these beautiful people that this dog has the life that it has. And so many other animals have had second chances, which really pretty incredible. So I want to tell you a little bit about this woman, Toni Bolbua, that I'm saying was so amazing and left her mark in so many people. And truly, your life was just never the same when you met her. She had such a high level of care. And when she would wake up every morning, she would wake up and she would come downstairs in her house, and she had this big, huge mansion of a house she would call Casabua. And it was like a fairy tale castle. And she'd come down in the morning and she'd light candles every morning. And then she'd say, "Hello, piano. Good morning, wall. Good morning, flowers. Good morning, vase. Good morning, chair. Good morning, couch." And she would greet every item, every space, every wall. "Good morning, floor." She lived in complete and utter gratitude. So imagine what that would be like. Just take a moment, close your eyes, and imagine in your own life, if you were to wake up, wherever your house is, wherever your bedroom is, imagine waking up and coming downstairs if you have a downstairs, if not, just coming into wherever your living space is and lighting a beautiful candle to greet the new day and taking a deep breath and exhaling out all the wonderment and then saying good morning to everything. Good morning, wall. Good morning, floor. Good morning, coffee pot. Good morning, sink. Good morning, whatever it is that you see and feel. Good morning, sky. Good morning, day. And living and being grateful for everything that's in front of you, for everything that's in your life, for everything that's a part of you. What a way to lead and to live a passionate life. It's really amazing. And the fact that she was able to give 100% to every person that she met, and she really listened, and she really cared, and she really took time and energy. And she met her husband, Gene Bua. They were both soap operas on The Love of Life. Now, isn't that great to be on a soap opera, to be a soap opera star and called The Love of Life as the soap opera? And they connect you to this leading actor, this very handsome man, and in the story, you're supposed to fall in love. And I always imagine how difficult that would be to be kissing somebody in love with someone that you don't really know or you don't really are attached to in a movie, in a television show. But here, as a young actress, she was supposed to fall in love with this actor. And not only did she fall in love with him, but she did it on national television. So the world watched them fall in love. And they became on all these magazines. They were the cover of magazines for years. Their love story became one of the top love stories in the history of all time. And so for those of you that followed them at that time, Tony and Gene Bua, it was the love story to beat all love stories. So we talked about the dog. Let's talk about falling in love. Let's talk about falling so freely in love and letting your heart go, just like you're at the top of a roller coaster and letting that just fall and fly, and that exhilaration and the jubilation and that bliss and that glee to such a point that your love touches and affects everyone around you, everyone that sees you, everyone that greets you, everyone that meets you, everyone that knows you, everyone that's had the opportunity to peer as a window into your world and into your life, that your love literally fills each person like a balloon and they take off because your love is that powerful and that strong. And we all have the ability in our life to do that. We all have the power to fall in love with such force, with such total abandon, with such relinquishment that we know there is nothing. It's like jumping into a pool or sliding into a swimming pool and then jumping out and saying, let me do it again, and getting back up and sliding back in, that you know that you're going to marinate in the luscious love and life possible. And not only do you have a knowingness and an surety of that, but that it's so powerfully strong that anybody that you come across, anybody that sees it, anybody that has the opportunity to be touched by your love, somehow learns and knows and cares and has the ability to love deeper than they have ever known was possible or that they have ever loved before, just by witnessing the power of your love. What would that be like? Be absolutely amazing. And so think about that. What does that mean in your own world? How can you incorporate that in your own world? How can you love just a little bit freer, a little bit deeper, a little bit more than you loved a second or a minute or an hour or a day before? And can your love ripple like a stone in the water? Can it create a rippling effect to everyone you touch and meet and greet? That's profoundly, to me, living a deeply passionate life. Now, Tony and Jean were an amazing team. It's interesting because I learned at her memorial that she actually was offered a part in the movie The Prince and the Pauper, in which Jean starred in Ireland, and she was just young lass. And she was offered one of the leads. And her father would not let her go to Ireland because he thought she was too young to travel. And so they had to give that part to another actress. But in the universal time, as we talk about twin flames, they were destined to meet, whether it was in Ireland, whether it was on the soap opera, these two people were destined to come together. And together they became a collaborative team, and they wrote and they directed and they produced many famous award-winning musicals and shows. One show was called Pepper Street. That's when I came into the story. I was only 19 years old when I first met Jean and Tony Bua. And there was this show called Pepper Street that was running, and I actually went and I studied with them. And my very first class ever in working with them, I was standing backstage, and Jean, Tony's husband, said to me, Nicole, step in. And I thought, step in? But he can't even see me. Does he want me to step on stage? It wasn't time for me to come on stage. And then he wanted me to step into my soul, to step into myself, to step into my power, to step into my creativity, to step into the framework of who I was meant to be created to be, to the master self, to the masterpiece of the who I am. And that has never left me. Because during the years, many of you have had the opportunity to meet me and to greet me and to see me on a speaking circuit. And sometimes I'm speaking to audiences of 5,000 people, or sometimes I'm speaking to even larger audiences than that, in entire forums, and I'm on stage. And it doesn't matter if there's 5 people or 500 people or 5,000 people that are out there, even more. I always step in. I step into who I am. I always ask, okay, if this was the very last chance I ever had to speak to anybody in my life, if beyond this moment, beyond this evening, beyond this day, I never ever have the opportunity again to say anything to anyone, what would I say? what would I want to share with you? What would I want to tell with you? Before I finish this show today, what is it that I want to say? And so many times I have heard Jean's voice or Tony's voice saying to me, step in. Times when I was frightened to speak in front of the military and the energy was so dark in the room and my little feet were glued to the floor and I'm thinking, what am I doing here? Speaking to all these military people or speaking to prisoners or any of the situations that I've been in. And each and every time, I always hear their voice simply say, step in. And I do. And it's always okay. And what I say is always correct. And it's always the right thing. And it's always from the center of my heart. And it's always on my breath. And it's always in alignment with my consciousness and my goodness and my honor and my integrity and my desire for people to lead and to live a happier life, a more joyful life, an unlimited life, a life that you always knew ever since you were a little tiny baby that you knew was possible to live. And somehow we have barriers or we have boundaries or we have things that come up in our life that have frozen us, that have stilled us, that have scared us, that have stopped us from reaching our dreams, our goals, our visions, our desires, our passions, our finances, our love, whatever it is that we know is there in front of us for us. Whatever is there, it's invisible. And being able to help people remove those barriers, remove those walls, turn everything into a gate so you can just swing it open and step forward. And it's with their words, by being told to step in, that I have always had the opportunity and the strength and the power to step forward. So it was at this very time when they were doing the show called Pepper Street that I had the opportunity to study with them. And at that time, I was so impressed just being in this bubble or this umbrella of talent and mega, mega, mega creativity where energy just flowed in celebrity after celebrity and star after star and athlete after athlete. Everybody, I mean, the famous of the famous walk through their doors just to be touched by their creativity. And the one thing that they instilled, when you watch movies, and if you go ahead and you Google them or buy any of their books and see the list of celebrities from their nose to their toes that have studied with them, they're your favorite actors. They're people that you're like, I love that actor and every movie he's in I need to see, or I love that actress and everything they're in, or I love that athlete, that's my favorite athlete of all time. They actually had a way of encapsulating, swaddling the greatest talent in the world. And they had the ability for you to keep your own individuality, your own skill, your own talent set, and still be able to go out into the world and to work on these major movies or to work with these major athletic teams. Whatever it is, it allowed a centeredness, it allowed a burst open of creative power and talent to flow. It was a gift beyond any gift. And the show Pepper Street at that time was created for at-risk youth. And the show was only meant to run just a little while. And this show had such a huge impact that it created almost like Rocky Horror, where people would come see the show over and over and over and over and over. And people would bring 5 of their friends and 10 of their friends and 20 of their friends and the whole corporate office and everybody in their office or all of the people in their school or all of their friends for a party. It became the thing that you wanted to share with people you cared about the most or loved the most. There were men that proposed to women there. There were relationships that were healed and mended there. And this one story of this one girl who felt like an outcast in her neighborhood and didn't want to be here anymore, and until she realized that the people that lived on Pepper Street were very much like her, and they just had their own issues and their own problems and their own woes and their own world, and that we all are interconnected somehow, created such an incredible just snowball of light, of effervescence, of glory, of magnificence. And the talent from that just went on and on. You know, now we have shows like The Voice that have been created from that talent there. And we have so many. When we look at the list of people that, and you can on your own go ahead and Google and look at Pepper Street and the cast of Pepper Street, and you're looking at all these major celebrities and all these people that performed in Pepper Street and how that launched them into the worlds and into the arenas that they're in right now. And together as a team, they did Across from Cindy's Corner and Second Wind. And there was a story about a little boy in a wheelchair, and they created When I Dream about this little boy, you know, in a wheelchair. And they compose songs for feature films and for television, and on their talent would flow, and on their talent would go. And then they created the Here's to Life Foundation, and Here's to Life Foundation sponsors at-risk teams and others through arts and entertainment. And so when I look at someone's life, and I'm glad today that I have the opportunity to talk to you about one individual who, as we talk about passionate living, how does someone lead and live a passionate life? How does somebody create a passionate world? How does somebody not only live it and embody it themselves, but gift it to every person they meet? And that's what Toni was able to do, along with her husband Gene, and the Here's to Life Foundation that sponsors at-risk teens. They would and continue to help these kids who never had hope, who never had laughter, who never had joy, who have feelings so pent up, so deep, so ensnarled, so raveled up inside of them, and totally in a luscious way, let it unwind and let it unravel and allow it to be and allow people to feel and to think what they're doing. And it's the most beautiful process in the world. And I remember somebody saying once that there's a difference between a teacher and somebody who is going to tear you apart. That somebody that tells you this is wrong or that's wrong or this is wrong. And who do you have in your life that they say that they are teaching you, and then they tell you a million and one things you're doing wrong, or even one thing you're doing wrong, or they harp on and they tell you this is not right, and 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 you should do this, or you should have done that, or why did you do this, or if you only did this? That's not a teacher, that's a critic. That's a critic. And sometimes we're so beat up by the people in our lives. Sometimes we're so beat up by the people that we think are our parents, our family, our friends, or people that we consider our teachers, when they're not teaching us at all. They're critiquing us. They're tearing us apart and they're putting us down. A teacher, a real teacher, whether that's a parent or a lover or a friend or somebody that in school has been a teacher or a mentor or someone that has taught you an art, martial arts, gymnastics, dance, piano, somebody that teaches you. Teachers empower us to be our best selves. And teachers see when we're full and we can't take anymore, and we can only handle what we can handle, and they might say one little thing that makes our world better. One little thing that makes something sparkle or shimmer or shine. They might say one little thing. They said that Tiger Woods' golf stroke, somebody wrote it that was watching on television, and one little degree of changing his golf stroke made him, you know, a world famous golf player. What is that one little one degree? Tiny, minute, little different smile. Open your eyes. Here, hold the paper this way. It's easier to type. I mean, the tiniest little thing that can assist you to become the better you. And so one of the things that I have learned from Tony that I'm passing on today is if there are people in your life that you are calling teachers that are making you wrong or making you bad or tearing you apart, are not adding or enhancing or uplifting or elevating or supporting you, they are not teaching you, they are critiquing you. And I would implore you to find a teacher in all walks of life. Someone that can love you with total abandon. Someone who believes in you to the end of the earth and beyond. Someone who cares enough about you to be confrontational, not confrontational, and to share their heart with you, and their spirit and their soul with you. And their power and their essence with you, and their knowledge and their wisdom with you in such a tender, loving way that you feel taught, that you feel that you have learned, that you feel that you have grown somehow in the process of their teaching to be a bigger, better, stronger, more powerful, more beautiful, more loving, more caring, more kind, more spectacular you along the way. So these are fabulous lessons that this one special person, the little stone in life that was teaching the world how to love universally, how to care universally, how to give with so much spirit and so much intensity and so much joy and gratitude. And if we all could live our life that way, then when we leave, we will have left a mark. Just like this lovely woman, where every single person that has met us along the way, their life is forever changed in the process of having met us. Everyone that's ever seen us love, they love better. Their love is richer because they got to see what love looked like and experience love. And so they had an example for it and they can live by it and a way to share. And so it's just an honor and a privilege to be able to talk about Tony today. And for all of you who have been listening to the show and following me for years and really, in your heart of hearts, want to lead and live a more passionate life. You know, it has been my greatest desire to bring to you the guests, the people that were at the very top and pinnacles in their field that had the keys, the tools, the secrets, the know-how, the wisdom, and the success. The doorways and the windows and the pathways to help you lead and live a passionate life, an unlimited life, an unbridled life, a life of success where each and every one of your dreams come true. And certainly, Tony has been on our shows many times, and she really is the cherry on any sundae of a great example of how to lead and live a passionate life. And so I am proud, privileged, and honored to talk to you today about this beautiful woman, Toni Bobbila, and look forward to sharing more when we return here on Passionate Living. Nicole Brandon, we are back on Passionate Living. We've taken a break from our regular programming with live guests today to do a tribute to a very special woman to me, Toni Bobbila, who is dear, dear friend of mine, as well as my mentor, my teacher, my coach for countless years, and someone who truly has helped shape and mold me into who I am today, and very often many of the ways and the abilities and the tools and the skills that I'm able to use and to help and maintain and to give to all of you and to all of those that I meet around the world have been literally so crafted and so carefully cared for by this beautiful woman. And we were talking earlier in the show about Miley the dog, this incredible dog that she adopted, who now has become a sensation on her own. So if you want to Google Miley the dog, or Tony Bua, whose lives, really, her life has touched so many lives around the world and every single person she met. And, you know, her spirit and her humor and her positive outlook just overrode any challenge. And she was able to reach out to others and uplift others and help people shift on their own journeys. And it was really a force of nature that allowed her to do that. And Tony and Jean's creations have been honored at the White House. They were honored at the United Nations and six California mayors. And so when we look at her, the body of her work, whether it was when she, if you're so a fan, followed her in The Love of Life or Another World or Somerset or any of the programs she was on, I always like to think about her words, because her words were always so important to me. And there was a time when I was deeply looking for love in my own life. And all of my friends, all of these other people who had gone to dating services and had been online on Match.com and eHarmony and Millionaire Matchmaker, whatever it is, and had, you know, been married and divorced. And I was always holding out for what I knew existed out there, what I knew was possible, what I knew love could look like. And as Tony's health declined, my life got busier. So I was traveling the world and I was in all these different countries and I was speaking at the United Nations. And so when I came back, it was very difficult to sort of Chinese jump rope in to be able to spend time with her. So very often I would go with her to do doctor's appointments, and I would go to the hospital and I would just sit there with her, or I would just spend the night just to be able to be there and take my little dogs over there. And I remember in one of our conversations, we were talking about the fact that I was looking for love and that I really believed that this existed out there, because if I could imagine it, then I knew it was possible. And we were talking about how all these people had deal breakers that, you know, they needed to have X about a buddy and they could have kids and they, whatever that is, and you have to be faithful. And all of these women and men that were always talking about deal breakers, and I never really understood that. And I said to her, you know, all these people are talking about deal breakers, and what do you think about deal breakers? And she said, honey, there's only one deal breaker. And she said, that's love. She said, you never compromise your heart. Never compromise your heart. Never let someone take away the power and the strength of your heart and your ability to love. That we're all gifted beautiful, perfect hearts. And give to somebody, care for somebody, share with somebody, but don't let anybody wound your heart, because that's the core of your soul and who you are. And that was such a great lesson for me, because I love so freely each and every one of you and everybody that I meet. And the fact that the only thing that I had ever had to think about in finding true love was being able to have my heart full of love all the time, so I could give it freely all the time. And not have it be beat up, but always have it be rich and full and healthy and strong to be able to share and to love in such a beautiful fashion. And I thought that was such great advice and so many different things I have learned. And I would love her writing. And I used to read her acting scenes and read some things she wrote. And what I realized when I was reading her bio and all of the things that were said about her over the past few weeks was her lyrics. You know, she was a lyricist for television feature films like The Dog Who Saved Christmas and My Christmas Dream and My Dog's Christmas Miracle and A Nanny for Christmas. All these, she wrote all these lyrics for all these very magical, marvelous, spectacular events that all had to do with everything sparkly, everything twinkling, everything unseen, everything felt, everything known in the heart and in the spirit and the etheric world. And she also wrote the lyrics for Bliss, which was a DVD project produced by In the Light, and Dance With Me Santa. And she worked on all of these Broadway Cares and charity events for so many years. And even with a little help on my friends, charity events. So when I look at a life well lived, and we talk about at the end of our life, how do we want to be remembered? Wouldn't it be wonderful to say, this person taught me to love. This person taught me how to have a full, rich heart to be able to give to everybody I meet pure love, divine love, infinite love, love that will go on forever and ever and ever, and love full force with your whole heart each and every time that you meet somebody. To be able to see everything around you as alive and real. Hello table, hello chair, hello mirror, hello pillows, hello fork, hello knife, and be grateful for everything that we meet. To be able to talk to our pets, as she wrote to Miley specifically. Hi. And share who I am. This is my house and this is my world, and I want you to share it with me, and I think you would be happy here. And if we did that with our rescue pets and we brought them into our world and our lives and into our heart, and the same way that this little dog somebody saw jogging by, when we see an injustice, when we see an animal that's wounded, when we see a child that's being abused or bullied or hurt, when we see a woman or a man that's in a domestic situation that is creating pain, when we see anything that does not say love, happiness, joy, infinite bliss, infinite magic, that we actually step up and do something about it. And I know that we only have a couple minutes in the close, but one of my favorite parts of the memorial service was the fact that somebody wrote in a letter that was her childhood friend, and she said, you know, when I was 11 years old, I met a princess named Tony, and she didn't know she was a princess yet, but she was a princess, and talked about how she would hang crystals in her window just to let the rainbows in, and talked about all of the different things, how she would say, hello, flower, hello, bug, hello, bee. So even then, she was leading and living this life and making things friends. And one of the things that I thought was most special and most spectacular in the process is that this woman wrote, and when I was a little girl, and when I was 11 and 12 years old, she was always kind to people. And when I was not kind to people, she would chastise me. And I love that, because there is no right or wrong in the world. But if we could all lead with our hearts, lead with our care, lead with our love, lead with that gratitude for each and every day, then indeed we are living and leading a passionate life. And so for myself, Nicole Brandon, and from a world of people who have been loved and touched by Toni Bobbio, we will miss her. We will remember her always, and we are grateful she was in our lives. So, wishing you all a passionate life, and look forward to seeing you here next week as we return with our live guests. And until then, may your every wish and dream come true, every fairy tale, every hope, every desire. Life is truly unlimited. Everything is possible. And it's never what you think it is, as Toni would say. Anything can happen. So live your miracle today.